Present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, where fun and laughter get on like a mouse on fire. You join us for a second week at the City Varieties Theatre in the fine Yorkshire town of Leeds. Founded on textiles, the city had until 1969 one of the world's largest woolen mills. Then someone pulled at a loose thread and the whole building... Yeah, the whole building unravelled. No visit here would be complete without taking in the City Art Gallery. Sadly, Rossetti's famous pre-Raphaelite portrait of the young Queen Victoria as the goddess Aphrodite drinking from the fountain of Zeus is no longer on show. It was found to be a fake when cleaning revealed she was wearing a Leeds Rugby League Club jersey. A silly mistake, as Queen Victoria was, of course, a Hal Kingston Rovers supporter. Leeds galleries and museums may contain countless priceless artifacts, but keen-eyed visitors may also find here certain curiosities of no financial value, remnants from a bygone age guaranteed to kill half an hour. Let's meet the teams. They are, on my left, Barry Crowe and Graham Garden. And on my right, Paul Merton and Tim Brooke-Taylor. And keeping track of the scores and eager to get them down on the desk next to me, it's the delightful Samantha. We'll start with a round called Historical Headlines. Reporting the news in the olden days was a difficult business. In medieval times, they'd employ an old man to stand in the town square shouting at passers-by. And there's an interesting connection with our own Barry Crowe. Apparently, Barry's first ancestor would roam the streets of medieval England wearing a red coat with a funny hat and a little bell. In fact, if the family hadn't changed it, to this day, Barry would still bear the surname Noddy. Okay, teams, in this round I'd like you to imagine how today's newspapers and periodicals might have reported certain historical events. The event is King Arthur creates the Knights of the Round Table. Barry, will you start, please?
Daily Mail, King vetoes dome, orders round table.
Exchange and Mart, for sale, one square table, unused.
And from The Guardian, for corrections and clarifications... Yesterday's headline, Arthur Beds Guinevere, should have read Arthur Weds Ginger Beer.
The Star, under the story of the 12th and last night's circumference, had his award stripped from him under the headline, Decorations to be taken down on 12th night.
There's one in the Express. Who gets a seat at round table? It's a lottery, says Camelot Boss.
The Sport, Elvis seen in Camelot Sainsbury's.
The Daily Star, round table, Camelot Knights ride back to MFI to collect missing wingnut.
Let's try another one of those. This time it's Robin Hood wins Nottingham archery contest. Tim.
The Lincoln Greenan. Robin Hood makes meal of victory in this year's Eton and Arrow match. This is a repeat.
Daily Mail, archer called Geoffrey to stand for sheriff.
In the, yes, the Robin Hood wins Nottingham archery contest was covered in the Yorkshire Post under the headline, Another Doublet and Hose Ban.
And in the Express, headline said, Tournament starts 15 minutes late. Outrage as archers move to 2 o'clock.
Nottingham Clarion, council install Little John in forest.
And the Telegraph, Reverend Spooner arrested in Friar Tuck incident.
It's now time for the teams to sing. A signal for housebound music lovers everywhere to consult their copy of the Geneva Convention. The round is called Pick Up Song, where all that's required is a few discs and a gramophone to play them on. Samantha has specially selected some hit singles from her collection, and I noticed her 45s are already stacked up and ready to spin. Teams, you should sing along until at a random moment Samantha turns the volume down. Keep going all the while, and if when the music returns you're within a gnat's crotchet of the original record, I'll be awarding points. And points mean prizes. I'm not going to ask the audience what do points mean, because it always ends with mindless, idiotic shouting. All right, what do points mean? I think that proves my point. This week's prize will ideally suit the lover of Chinese food who needs to know exactly when it's cooked. It's this oven-ready speaking duck. We'll try a couple of duets again this week. Tim and Paul, would you please accompany Frank and Nancy Sinatra singing Something Stupid?
I stand in line until you think you have the time to spend an evening with me. And if we go someplace to dance, I know that there's a chance you won't be leaving with me. And afterwards we drop into a quiet little place and have a drink or two. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like, I love you. I can see it in your eyes that you despise the same old lies that you heard the night before. And though it's just a line to you, for me it's true and never seemed so right before. I practice every day to find some clever lines to say to make the meaning come true.
Your turn, Barry and Graham. Please accompany Esther and Abby Oferim singing Cinderella Rockefeller.
Lady, ooh, I love your touch.
Thank you so much. I love your eyes.
That's very nice.
I love your chin.
Say it again.
I love your chinny chin chin.
You're the fella that rocks me.
Rockefeller.
You're the fella that rocks me.
Rockefeller. Points failure at Peterborough.
And what do points mean?
Peterborough.
Yeah.
We move on to an old favourite called Sound Charades. This is derived from the erstwhile television game Give Us a Clue, where the teams would act out plays, films or book titles within a strict time limit using only bodily mime. And what a fine entertainment it was. Fans still speak in hushed tones of the day. Eunice Stubbs, her hands a blur, managed three men in a boat in less than 90 seconds. Our version of the game differs in one respect, in that the teams are allowed to use their tongues and lips to produce an effect known technically as speaking. Tim and Paul, you're to start. Your title will shortly be broadcast on the laser display screen. Well, here's the mystery voice for listeners at home.
The Full Monty. The Full Monty.
Off you go, Paul and Tim, with your...
It's three words. It's a film. And we'll do it all together.
Okay, here we go. Would you like some more, Field Marshal?
No, thanks. I've had quite enough.
Field Marshal Slim. Field Marshal Hay.
Is it the full Rommel?
Very, very close.
The accent should give you a clue. Yeah.
The full Bronte.
No, it's very good. It was the full Monty.
Thank you very much.
Okay, your turn, Barry and Graham. Your title is now being exhibited on the laser display board. And here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Wall Street. Wall Street.
Go on, then.
And it's two words,
mm-hmm.
And it's a film. Here it comes.
Hamish.
Ah, Dougal. Jings, Hamish, you're having your tea.
I am indeed. And, oh, this is lovely ice cream.
It looks... It looks a real treat. Who makes it?
Walls.
Any idea, Tim?
No, at all, no. Ice cream got my reaction.
Yes, it did.
Glass.
Ben and Jerry, Tom and Jerry.
Who made the ice cream?
Walls.
Something Wall. Is it in the title, Walls?
Walls is in the title, yeah.
The Walsall story.
And the ice cream was a real...
treat.
Treat.
Wall Street.
Time now for a game called What is the Question? This game is not to be confused with the amusing party game played by French philosophers entitled What is a Question? For those of you who've never been to a party with French philosophers, they are fun people. Very fond of party games. Favourites include I Spy, therefore I Am. Deconstruct the Parcel. And, of course, Pin the Tail on the externalised image of the long-eared quadruped. Okay, teams, now, I'll read out a series of answers, and I'd like you please to suggest the original questions likely to have prompted them. Okay, Tim, here's the answer. What's the question? A royal flush.
What follows a royal we?
And, of course, the question should be, what beats a straight flush in poker? Graham, here's the answer again. What's the question? A creature halfway between a man and a horse.
What is a saddle?
Paul, now your answer. Taking drugs and playing the violin.
Ah, yes. What are the two most effective forms of contraception?
The question should have been, how did Sherlock Holmes relax? Incidentally, I didn't tell you that the question on the previous one should have been, what is a centaur? But it's too late now and it doesn't matter. Who cares anyway? I don't. It's just... thought it was a silly game to start with.
We're going out for a walk later.
Ha ha ha!
your trousers. You've got them on.
OK, Barry. Barry, your answer is pensioners and buns.
You'll get him going.
Name two things you can often see in a post office. If you take some buns.
The real question is, what is Chelsea famous for? Okay, here are, some for anyone to work out questions to who wishes. You get £200 each time.
That's what happens when you sell a roll of wallpaper to the Lord Chancellor.
Interestingly, the real question is, how much do you get for passing Go in Monopoly?
That is interesting.
He stuffs animals.
Well, what does Rolf Harris do when the cameras aren't on him?
How about this one? It always comes back.
What happens when you thought you'd seen the last episode of The Last of the Summer Wine?
Or, it always comes back. What's the worst thing about being ill out of a train window?
This one has some connection, I think. They both change colour.
Well, what do Judith Chalmers and Michael Jackson have in common?
The real answer, or the real question, rather, is what connects chameleons and traffic lights? Right, it's now time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. First of all, I noticed there's a splendid card on the mantelpiece to mark the official reopening of Mornington Crescent Tube and sent to us by a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales. Mrs. Trellis has taken the trouble to find the appropriate Gordon Fraser special occasion card. On the front it says, Happy Northern Line Underground Station Reopening, above a picture of a vintage car with a set of golf clubs in it. Right, well, as we're in Yorkshire this week, it's only natural we should play the Northern League version of Mornington Crescent, a fluent form of play made popular by the monks of Kirkstall Abbey. There are several obvious variations from the standard game. Cloistering is only allowed after Kensal Rise has been played. A slow player may be declared Trappist by the player to his left, resulting in the handicap of remaining silent for two moves while writing his instructions to his partner to play. Okay, Tim, will you start, please?
Cheapside.
Ooh. All right, Church. Kirkgate.
I'm going to avoid the cloister.
Yeah.
Kirkgate, one word, that's one word, is it? Kirkgate?
Yeah.
One word.
I can feel Headingley coming on.
Shall I open a window?
I feel it definitely sort of Trappist coming on. If it
Rose,
move on.
Rose Terrace.
Rose?
Rose Terrace.
Piccadilly Circus.
Collier's Wood.
Duke Street.
Mordenhall Road.
It's Cloistering, isn't it?
No, it's okay.
Kensal Rise.
Yeah.
Kensal Rise.
Yes, it was. Platts Lane.
Who said Kensal Rise anyway?
I didn't move my lips.
But did you say it?
No. Barry, did you say Kensal
Rise? I did not.
No, he didn't.
Some mystery.
Who said Kensal
Rise? Are you hearing the voices again? They're friendly.
Who said Cloistering then?
I said Cloistering.
But it wasn't your turn.
Well, in effect, it was.
Was it?
Yep.
Well, what did Paul say?
Matron says he's like this every night.
Well, if, with a bit of luck, somebody might be recording this so we can play it back and find out.
Yes.
What I mean is, he didn't say Kensal Rise, did he?
No, I didn't say Kensal Rise.
Well, then it can't be Cloistering.
It must have been me.
No, I said Cloistering and he said Kensal Rise.
Yeah, but that's the wrong way round. It says here, After Kensal Rise has been played.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, he said Kensal Rise after you said Cloistery.
How do you know?
Just admitted it.
How do you know?
Just admitted it.
I had black hair when we started.
I mean, if we're going to play this game, let's play it right. Anyway, before I'm accused of being Trappist...
Well, half of it's true.
Carry on, Paul.
Careful. Tottenham Court Road.
Good.
Street Lane.
Apart from the fact it wasn't your turn...
I've been cloistered.
No, it was after a cloister. I could go there.
But no... Listen, nobody said Kensal Rise.
In that case...
Don't make up the rules as you go along. Paul.
Well, it seems to be I'm the only one that's saying anything. Old Street.
Yes, I know. Camden Town.
Yeah. Barkinside.
Mornington Crescent.
Right, it's time now for the teams to exercise a little discretion. I've noticed recently there's far too much smut and filth polluting our airwaves, ever since I worked out how to program my new video recorder. But it's not only TV that suffers with truly offensive material. Songs can also be afflicted, teams, and with this in mind, I'd like you please to sing certain medleys, but taking care to buzz out any words that might cause offence to listeners or of a delicate disposition. Do bear in mind, teams, that excessive use of the buzzer may drown out the piano accompaniment of Colin Sell. If that doesn't work, you might try banging a shoe on the desk. Okay, teams, I'd like you each to censor the work of a certain popular artiste. You're to start, Barry and Graham, and your artiste is Tom Jones. Off you go, please.
The same as I stepped down from the train. I let him meet me. Here's my mom and my papa. Down the road I look, and there runs Mary, hair of gold and like cherry. It's good to touch the
Okay, your turn, Tim and Paul. Would you please provide a censored medley from the songbook of Elvis Presley?
You ain't nothing but a hound dog all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog all the time. Well, you ain't never a rabbit and you ain't no friend of mine.
Can't you see I you? Please don't break my in two. Not hard to do, 'cause I don't have a word. It's now or never. Come hold me tight. Kiss me, my darling, be mine tonight. Tomorrow will be too late. It's now or never. My won't wait.
Well, the end of the show is fast approaching. But not before the teams announce the late arrivals at the overweight ball. Samantha says she likes to keep in trim lifting weights. So while she nips out to her new gym to enjoy a good half-hour's pumping, I'd like the teams to announce the names of the guests arriving at a ball for the overweight. Graham, will you start, please?
Will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Normus and their son, Yuri.
Will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. at the size of him, their son, Luke, at the size of him.
Oh, and just behind them, a special diet version of our pianist, Colin Cellulite.
Oh, there's Terry Waite. With his Swedish cousin, Ova. And his friend, Lars, of the summer pudding.
Are you welcome, please? Mr. and Mrs. Pound of Belgian Chocolates won't do any harm, surely. And their hermaphrodite child, Shirley Arthur Pound of Belgian Chocolates.
Will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Phelps and their good grief.
And they've brought their parrot polyunsaturated.
It's cabaret time.
Not before time.
We've got Tommy Steele, George Belly, Flavie Seyfra. Compare Lloyd Grossman. The top of the bill is Fats Domino singing Blubbery Hill.
Closely followed by the Suction Brothers. Groucho, Harpo, Chico and Lippo.
Mr. and Mrs. to supper room just by moving away from the window. And their son Elite supper room just by moving away. Who's that over there in the corner? It's Gorge Michael. Quietly masticating. Now.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as the armpit hair of time is snagged in the ball deodorant of destiny,